Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's so wonderful that you've joined with us again today. And we've already been starting celebrating even before you've tuned in, our family here. And on behalf, Peter and I, on behalf of Pastor Paul, welcome you with all our hearts. And we are so blessed to have you with us here in Lake Faith Church. Exciting things are happening. Oh my goodness, we've already been rejoicing. So let's open up in prayer. Father, we just give you all the praise for who you are. It is so exciting to come into your presence again, Father, with family joined as one, Lord. You are such a personal God. And you know everyone who is joined with us today. You know all what they are dealing with. You know the challenges. And I thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, speak to each one today, personally, to encourage, to inspire, to uplift them from where they are. Father, with all our hearts, that is your desire, to have sincere worshippers who worship and adore you in the realm of the Spirit and in truth. And Father, as we open our hearts to you today, Lord, we just want to be closer to you, Lord. We want to press in. We don't want to miss out on anything that you have for us. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. We don't want to take any garbage into this next week. We don't want to hold any burden or care. And we ask for forgiveness, Lord. And if there be any unforgiveness in our hearts, any offense, anything that we are not aware of, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. We repent, Father, of all sins of omission. Because, Father, we want to come close to you, for you are holy and there is no sin in you. There is no darkness in you, only love and light. We're not perfect, Lord. We all goof up, and myself, top of the line. But, Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace upon us. We love you, we adore you, we praise you. God bless Jerusalem, Father, this day. Establish the borders of Jerusalem in peace. God bless this whole wide world. You hold the whole wide world in your hands, Lord. Yes, you've got the whole world in your hands, and we praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for blessing our nations, our world. Thank you for blessing our economy. Thank you, Father, for blessing those in authority over us this day. We give you praise and honor as we continue to pray for righteousness and justice to exalt our nations, Lord. Amen. And Father, we pray today for your revelation to be released through Pastor Paul as he preaches the wonderful mystery of the hope-filled gospel today. Oh, we are excited, Lord, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And can you give me an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, we lift you up, Jesus, high in the midst of us this day. Glory be to God. We lift you up, Jesus, we praise your name. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the same. We lift you up, Jesus, we praise your name. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus. Hallelujah. We lift you up, Jesus, we praise your name. Lift you up, Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We lift you. So we lift you up, Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lift you up, Jesus, we praise your name. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Yesterday. Yesterday, today.
Yesterday, today, for
Winning,
because we're on the winners team, amen?
Amen. Good morning. I'm glad that you could join us today. Praise God. Thank you, Sandy. We're a team operating here. And we're family here. It's our spiritual home. It's where God's put his name for us. And we found our part in the kingdom here, where we come to celebrate and worship him and encourage one another, lift us up, you know, appreciate one another. and appreciate the giftedness that God has given us to contribute to ourselves and to all those that come into our sphere of communication throughout the week and so forth. And so our time of gathering together is where we are building the fortitude to go on out and be expressive for Christ. As one of my sons says to me, he lets people know that God loves them and that it's not unmanly to be kind, considerate, and edifying, lifting people up. And he was talking about how his testimony in the workplace, in the trucking firm where he is, they've all started to respond and they're all greeting one another warmly and saying, hey, God loves you. And they're referring to him as the pastor truckie. And praise God, you know, he just lets God out. And it's contagious, man. Change the atmosphere in the whole place. And just imagine if you were to trust God and to start to encourage people in your workplace, you could enjoy going to work. Nothing worse than hating your job. Huh? You hate your job, hate life. And you forget, God goes with you. God is in you. God is in you. So let him out. And you'll find, wow, things turn. Oh, they turn quickly. Okay, praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
He says that one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, tread where angels fear to go. Bring it on. You know? For why? Because he who is in me is greater than your threats. Amen. And apart from that, if I don't say what he says, I'm in trouble. So it doesn't make any difference what you think or say. You understand that? Okay, praise God. Now that we all know. What a subject we have this morning. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. The Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Praise God. And now King James says, the Lord is a man of war. And the Lord is his name. And it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. You'll see in the Old Testament how his name is recorded, is shifted, it changes. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, when it's talking about the creator of heaven and earth and the supreme living being, all powerful. And then you get L, O, capital L, small O, small R, small D. And it's another aspect of his character. But this is the boss. This is the Lord God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and the judge that we will be dealing with at the end. So praise God. Oh, it's quiet. And this Lord God Almighty is in you. So why should we be concerned for a moment about what's going on around about us when he's in us? For the greater one is within us. And he knows warfare. And in Christ, we have the victory. So our mentality should never be one of a victim. I know there needs to be a mind shift, a mindset change. And the only one that can do that is you. The only one that can do that is me. I can't help you shift it from being a victim to being a victor. You heard the scripture that Lorraine shared from 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Everything that you need for life has already been deposited in you. Everything. And he also says in Corinthians that everything that you need has been given to you. So it's already available. Okay, so if I'm allowing myself to have a mindset of lack, for instance, I am immediately in disagreement with what God says. For I am your shepherd, you shall not want. Well, how can I then determine that I am in want? You say, well, I'm experiencing want. Yes, but you get what you say. I don't want to start agreeing with my situation that says I am in lack. Now, that doesn't mean that I ignore the fact that I've got a lean period that I'm going through. But if I want to see that changed, I have to agree with God. And as Lorraine was talking about, you have to choose to release the joy of the Lord within you. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, he says in Romans 14, 17, but it is peace and righteousness and unspeakable joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that joy of the Lord is in me, and I need to acknowledge it. Okay, now the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when I'm facing lack, there's an issue as far as my attitude is concerned. You know, I don't want to get up in the morning necessarily. I lose my motivation, the whole zest for living, and depression is always there wanting to piggyback. You're right?
Yes.
And then you get the isolation and then everything sucks and you're thinking, oh man, I'm going down a hole. And it doesn't look, all of this. And the devil's after your mouth. James chapter 3 tells us that your tongue directs the course of your life.
Yes. Amen.
So you certainly don't want to start agreeing with your situation. You say, oh, well, I'm looking at lack here right now, but my God tells me that he's my shepherd and I will not want. He leading me to green pastures and still pristine waters. He revives, revitalizes, and ignites my soul.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
My soul. So the issue is your soul. And when it's traumatized, when it has been attacked and you are pierced in your soul, you have great difficulties endeavoring to see anything good happening to you. But when that's you recognize it straight away, right? You know, you go into a doctor's office and they don't have one look at you and then start telling you what's wrong with you. What do? They ask you what's wrong with you. And then you tell them what's wrong with you, knowing that they don't know how to do anything about it anyway. And then you've got to ask yourself, what are you going there for?
It's true. Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you, lady. It is true. My sister. Your soul. So here's the Bible, the Lord telling you what your problem is. He's telling you what your problem is. It's in your soul.
Yes.
Okay? Now, I've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is one spirit with me. I'm born again. You've got the front of the book. You've got the middle of the book, you know. And then you've got the front, the back, and the middle. Spirit, soul, and the body.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
How do I... It's like the spirit and the soul. It's one. So if the spirit leaves the body, it takes the soul with it. Do you understand? It's not... Even though we say we are a spirit being created in the image of God, and we have a soul, and we live in a body. That's true. That's when we're diagnosing the thing. But in reality, my spirit and the soul is one. God breathed into Adam and he became a living soul. Right? So our soul is very important. You can't ignore the soul and expect the spirit to be strong. Can you see what I'm saying? So when I've got an issue in my soul, I have got to get it sorted. Now, the Holy Spirit comes into my spirit. Now, I need to release him, give him permission. You notice God never does anything without you giving him permission.
Amen.
You can know all about God, talk to God, even experience his presence, but until you ask him into your heart, he's still on the outside knocking on the door for you to allow him to come into your life.
Amen.
And he's never stopped knocking. So when you've asked him into your life, now he's in your spirit and he's knocking on your soul. Will you open up for me to come with the resurrection power to restore vitality, life and wholeness to your soul again? So the 3 John 2 then can manifest. I pray above all that you will prosper in and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Even as your soul prospers. Okay, so I'm feeling like the earth's going to swallow me up and there's no hope for me, right? Okay, I need to follow the instructions. He says in Proverbs 4, 20 through 23, the word of God is medicine to all of your flesh for those who find it. You don't find it unless you're looking for it, and you won't be looking for it unless you know it's available.
Yes.
So knowing that it's available, you can ask for it. You follow? Okay. So you ask, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to flood from my born-again spirit into my soul with your delivering, healing, restoration power, that you have permission to make or bring my soul into excellence. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Removing all blockages from your eternal life manifesting in me.
Amen.
So that I come into that abundant life of John 10:10. More life than I know what to do with. So I give it away. Fill me with your life, Lord. Allow me to let it flow into my world.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. You follow?
Why
limp when you can be healed?
Yes.
And there's no greater limp than when your soul's been pierced with what? An offense, a betrayal, a letdown, a disaster, a failure. Oh, it goes on and on and on. Every one of them's like a spear that's been thrust straight through your soul. Right? Ask God to take them out and heal them. Walking around like a porcupine. He's already made porcupines. He doesn't need you. A counterfeit porcupine. Bullfed. Wake up. You right? He said, oh, that hurt? Yes. Well, get it out. When? Now.
Amen.
Don't go down. Don't let the sun go down with anger in your heart against someone else that ticked you off.
Yes.
Do you understand? These are practical, do this, right? Why let a devil rob you of your life? Live your life.
Yes.
Okay. So you say, the Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. And so where are we? So what's our mindset? Peter in Chapter 1, let's have a look at that quick. Verse 13, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified.
1 Peter.
There's only 1 Peter. Thank God, I don't know that we could handle 2 of him. He's brilliant. Best Santa Claus I know. Okay, so in the King James it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus turns up, it changes everything. Amen.
Amen.
So in the Amplified Classic it says, so brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert, set your hope wholly and unchangeable on the grace, divine favor that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed. So the responsibility that I have is to set myself, or gird, as it says in the Old Testament, in the King James, gird up the loins of my mind. And the commentaries, theologians have pointed out that it's a military term, that I'm have a mindset of warfare. But I need to have that mindset of warfare, that the battle's already been won. Now I'm here to clean up and enforce that victory.
Yes.
All right? So it doesn't matter that the battleground is strewn with all sorts of damage and otherwise, and if I was reading what it's communicating to me, because circumstances talk, don't they? Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that a negative circumstance is always broadcasting fear?
Yes.
It's always fear. Mm. You're right? And you've got to understand also, regarding your soul, that whatever you believe, you plant. Right? If you believe a lie, you're going to plant that. Mm. So if you believe the fear that's been communicated to you, that's going to be planted in your soul. Now that's in opposition to God, and that's going to start like white ants. Boris is going to start eating out the peace.
Yes.
And we are to allow peace to rule our souls, our mind, right?
Yes.
And that's a supernatural aspect. It's not an intellectual aspect. So, and we get the Holy Ghost involved in all of these aspects. So how do I keep peace when I'm under pressure? Ask the Holy Spirit, the supernatural part. I have faith in God. I have trust in God.
Amen.
The supernatural in me is the Holy Spirit. So anything of the dynamics and the power of the kingdom of God is present in the Holy Spirit. That's why the apostle said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 through, I glory in my weaknesses, because when I'm weak, the Holy Spirit makes me strong. So how do I get from being weak to strong? I ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen me. And he does. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit. I've been born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. The Holy Spirit is in me. I need to involve him in the partnership in everything that I'm doing. And the more I am involving him in what I'm doing, the more his characteristics begin to manifest. And you taste the fruit of what it is to be an enforcer. Say, in Jesus' name, I am an enforcer in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God, seeing the results of the dominion that's in the name of Jesus Christ, against every opposition to God's plan for my life, my family's life, my city's life, my nation's life, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, he's given me the authority to use the power of his name. When I believe it, and then I act on it, believing, the supernatural comes into it.
Amen.
My job is to trust him and do what he says. His job is to inhabit, make alive that word. Mm-hmm. And understand also that this word that he's given, every word that's coming out of God's mouth is set on an assignment.
Yes.
There's a purpose for every word that he's put here. And when I get into agreement with his word and I speak it out of my mouth, it is now on assignment again.
Yes.
Say angels.
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 They're waiting for God's word coming out of your mouth with belief that he will do what he says.
Amen.
And then the angels start to work. God uses angels. God won't do anything without a man or a woman. He can't. He needs to work through you. He works through you. He works through me. Angels are forbidden to preach the gospel. They can't preach it. So he needs you and me. You know, John Wesley, after many years, he said, I've come to the conclusion that if man doesn't pray, God can't act. And you get a hold of that. Get a hold of that. If I want change, it's no use me praying, God, will you please change this? God is in you and you've got him muzzled talking like that. He can't do a thing. You've got to get into agreement with him. There's the disciples on the Sea of Galilee and they've been given an assignment to go to the other side. And a storm comes up to impede them fulfilling the assignment. Storm coming. They thought they were going to drown. They went and woke Jesus up. He's asleep. Why could Jesus sleep in the middle of a storm and the boat's going down? Because he gave the word. Jesus said, I do not speak my own words, but only the words that the Father gives me. And remember that word, light be. Light was. Go to the other side. God the Father, through God the Son, spoke a direction, purpose, and a destination. They woke him up. He said, what's your problem? Where's your trust? In Matthew chapter 13, he says that if you don't understand the word of the kingdom, you won't receive the enlightenment or the revelation, and you won't receive the results that the word has been sent to work for you. You've got to understand it. So if I don't understand that by his stripes I'm healed, is on assignment, I'm not going to reap the benefit of it. But once I realize, hang on a minute, this word cannot fail because he said, this is how it's going to be and this is what the result will be. And if I believe it, I'm going to start moving into it. I'm going to start to experience it. Like I have to come to that place where I believe in my heart. I believe in my heart. Then I say with my mouth. Okay, so we can come back to that point. If I believe that my circumstances has got me trapped, I believe a lie. Because the word says God orders the footsteps of a righteous person. And we see the example, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10, he tells us that the Old Testament is an example of what not to do. Don't be like these that did this and ticked God off. And remember, in Numbers 13 and 14, God was exasperated with the first generation of Israelites that came out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. And he said, they've tempted me by their murmuring, their complaining, and their talking, lack, want, fear, and all the rest of it. He said, right, that's it. First up, he reduced their lifespan. Second, he said, you'll get everything you have said. Wow. Everything that they said. You brought us out here to perish. You brought us out here for our women to be violated and our children to suffer hunger and perish. And he's taken them to the promised land. Amen. God calls those things that are not as though they were. And if I can, if I'm looking at a constrained situation and circumstance, and I'm feeling trapped and trapped, and then I start speaking out, there's an intensity in it. So you know the difference between "G'day, how you going?" as you walk past somebody, right? They're not looking at you. They haven't engaged. It's not eye to eye. They're just, you just, "G'day, how you going? All right, mate. Hey, weather's all right. Yeah. You think it's going to rain?" It's just, it's nothing. It's, the soul is not in it. "Oh, but, hey, watch what you're doing." You know, "Hey, you can't park there. Look at this cloud in the roundabout." We all have, we all got stories about the roundabouts. Oh, you hear the passion in that? That's soul generated, you understand? Now what I'm saying to you is, watch the words that you put your soul in. Because those ones are creative. Those ones is what the angels of God are waiting for and what the devil's waiting for. You know, George Custer, he underestimated how many Sioux were there in that encampment. And he presumptuously ran straight into it. He had auxiliary detachments of companies, and they were all supposed to do this and that and the other, and they didn't. They did not. There was no help coming from over the hill. There was no backup coming. He didn't know that. They were supposed to do that. And so he's into it. And then when he finds out, my. And he ends up in a position on a hill, and they all ended up dead. The point is that I'm talking, and I'm under siege, right? And I'm talking about the siege. And there's 10,000 maybe around me. And I keep talking about that 10,000, and I'm given permission for another 20,000 to come, and then another 30,000. And then the siege gets thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. Yes. And then what happens? I'm feeling trapped, oppressed. And then I start talking about that. Then it gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. I've got to speak life. I've got to speak light. And he tells us in the New Testament repeatedly, don't let any profane language come out of your mouth. That's like ox blood in the ocean drawing sharks, man. It's a siren. It attracts them like flies on dirt. Pigs to mud. Bees to pollen. He said, let the communication that comes out of your mouth be edifying, uplifting, instructional, directional. Where are you going? You know, I was sitting, I used to work in the coal mines. I was in the coal mines for 5 years, 2 mile underground. That's an experience. And you're cutting out history. What sort of history? Prehistoric history. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't know what's going to come out of there. And I tell you, there's a lot of surprising stuff that comes out when you're digging out the coal in the seams underground. Right? I'm down there and it's crib time. Crib time, cup of tea time, coffee time, 15 minutes. And they sit around the table, there's about 12 blokes there, and they're all talking about when they retire. Talking about what sort of fishing pole they're going to do and all this sort of stuff, and they're They're running around and talking about that. And then they was talking about the fear of the mind closing down before they were ready. You know, they're going to shut this place down. And the whole thing was run by fear. But anyway, they come around to me and I said to them, nah, I won't be here when I retire. I've got a date with destiny. They all looked at me. I said, I'm just passing through. This isn't where I am set to be. This is not my future. I'm on my way. To what? To what God has for me. I didn't know him then. But that's why I'm going that way. I'm not here thinking about a fishing pole or some other thing. Like there's more to life than that. I mean, that's part of it. That's an enjoyment. That's a blessing. But that's not what you give an account to God for. But I had that sense. At 5 years old, I knew what my destiny was. I was standing on the concrete pillar that my father had made. I'm standing on it. I'm looking out across Sydney. I can see all these lights. And I had this impression come to me that I had to put something into every one of those houses. And I had no idea what that was until I met Jesus. When I met Jesus, then I knew that what I had to put in there was the light of the gospel into every one of those houses. You know? And so I didn't meet my destiny until I met Jesus. And thank God for that. All right? So thank God we are moving forward in line with the living God and his plan for our lives.
Thank you.
Yes? Okay. So the Lord is a warrior. Yahweh is his name. Okay. Praise God. So with the soul, okay, we've been pierced through. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to deal with it. Take out those fiery darts that got through and heal them in Jesus' name. Okay, praise the Lord. I think we could start with Ezekiel 22:30. Ezekiel 22:30. You say, oh God, how do I get out of this place? I gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing I ever do. Well, talking like that, mate, you'll be digging your 6-foot grave and you'll be buried there. That's the wrong stuff to be talking about, right? My God has a plan for me. It's a good plan. Jeremiah 29:11. A plan to give me an expected end. All right. 22:30. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them and have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads. So my own way, same as he did in and with the first generation to come out of Egypt. Right? Their own way have I allowed them to have. So in other words, what you wanted to have is what you have got. Now, so if I'm gonna stand in the gap, if I'm going to stand in the gap, he'll work with me. And see, God is looking for it. So if I'm saying, all right, I need to get out of this place, well, then I need to seek the face of God and to find out how that's going to happen and what he needs me to declare. Are you hearing me? If I want to change a situation, a circumstance, I need to do it God's way. I'm not going to hear that. So one is he's looking for one that's going to stand up. So, Somebody's going to take the responsibility. You know, we're all hungry, but if nobody takes the responsibility to cook something or prepare something, we're not going to eat. Somebody has to take some responsibility. You can't change what's already happened, but you sure can change how you respond to it. It starts with you taking the responsibility. So God's looking for someone who will take the responsibility and say, "Here I am, Lord. Show me. Come on."
Amen.
Like, "God, if you want me out of this place, no devil can hold me here. Show me how, or establish me in peace and release the prosperity that you said that I'm entitled to."
Amen.
Where I am, you understand? And so, like Isaac wanted to go to Egypt because of famine in the land, and God said, "Stay where you are, and sow here." And he gave him 100-fold crop, absolutely blew everyone away. You can imagine. You're right. Elijah, he said, "Go to the brook Cherith. There's a specific place. If you're in the wrong place, God's looking to move you."
Amen.
Ask Jonah. Jonah says, "I'm not going to Nineveh, man. No, get yourself another boy. I ain't going there." And he set off in that ship going the opposite direction. You've got buckles of staying where you are if God wants you someplace else.
Amen.
That's his attitude, but he's looking for you. So you're better off, you know, somebody put a gun in your face and they say, "Stick them up." What are you doing? And you've done what? Surrendered. Isn't it?
Yes.
You've yielded.
Yes.
What do you want me to do next?
Yes.
Right? Well, so we should do that with God. I got this problem and it's ticking me off and I don't like what's going on. Your problem is you are doing it yourself. Yield.
Yes.
Surrender.
Amen.
In this situation, not my will, but yours. And this book is his will. So my attitude needs to be right. One of an enforcer, not a victim. If the situation sucks, it's because you're allowing it to suck.
Yes. Amen.
There's giants in the land.
Yes.
And we, in their eyes, are like grasshoppers. And in ours too. But my God, I speak complaint like a giant. And the more I speak my issues, the bigger they get.
Yes.
I'm making my giants bigger than they need to be, bigger than they are.
Amen.
Remember Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yes.
And that Mr. Big or whatever his name was, and he's this big? He's this big? And then you read in Isaiah 14, and when it's all wrapped up and the whole world, all the population sees the devil, and they look at that wimpy looking creep and they said, "Him?
Yes.
Him? Did he do this to all the nations and the generations? That?
Yes.
How did he do it?" Deception.
Yes.
It gets people to believe a lie.
Yes.
"You'll never get out of this place."
Yes.
"My God has my life. And if my God wants me out of here, I'm out of here."
Yes.
You see? So I'm saying this. Jeremiah 29:11. "For my God knows the plans he has for me." And if this is where I'm supposed to be, if this is where there is, if there's no other means of provision, God will send crows in from someplace else with it.
Yes. Ooh, Lord.
You're not cut off unless you believe you are.
Yes.
You see? Okay. Now, when we actually start to come to this place where we take the responsibility, we say, "Here we are, Lord." And we come into that place to what? Rebuild the broken down fences. And he says, the walls of our salvation, the walls. The city has fortified walls and gates. Right? In the United States right now, they're talking about getting iron domes. And Trump says, I don't like iron dome, don't like the sound of it, it's old fashioned. He says, we're going to call it the golden dome. Whatever. But the point is, it's a protection.
That's good.
So the whole nation is going to have protection, just like Israel has protection. Right? Mm-hmm. And so a city without walls is in trouble. You and I without protection are in trouble. So he gives us the walls of salvation. But when we've had breaches, when we have breakdowns, we have to repair it. So if I'm praying for a brother or a sister that needs help, I'm starting the intercession. First thing I'm doing is I'm rebuilding the wall of protection. I'm going to plead the redemptive, powerful, merciful blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to activate the rights that the blood avails on behalf of someone else. So James 5:16, the prayer of a righteous man avails or makes available much power, dynamis, the miracle working of God for the person I'm praying for. So, but if I don't believe that, I don't put my soul into it. I believe in my soul and the Holy Spirit in my spirit joins with it. So mine is to believe and expect, and the Holy Spirit then releases the supernatural power of faith.
Amen.
That same faith that created heaven and earth. Hebrews 11:3. Right? Praise God. And when we're looking at the chapter in 11, Hebrews chapter 11, we're seeing an example of all the men and the women that released their faith to God, connected in such a way that here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And the Holy Spirit came on them. They went from natural to supernatural. Ah, man.
Amen.
Like that woman that had Sierra, that champion of the opposition, like a Philistine. You know, I think it was Syrian. But anyway, he slept in a tent. And she gets this whopping big tent peg. Sharp edge, right? She put it up to his eye and then went bang and drove that tent peg straight through his head. And here was this housewife took out the horrible adversary, you know, and their armies. Armies, if they lose their courage, they're useless. That's why the priest used to say before a war or a battle, fearful, go home. Get out of here. Double-minded, you got one foot in your business and the other foot here. But you've got, you know, you just bought a new bunch of horses. You just got a new fishing rod. You just bought a new car. Just got married. Get out of here. Gideon, 32,000 people responded, and 22,000 went home, ineligible. How many are ineligible? When the Holy Spirit sends out an invitation for a banquet, and all the people were saying, oh, too busy. I've got my own plans. I've got this on. I've got that on. I've got everything on. And they come back and said to the king, oh, they're all too busy. They've got all this other stuff going on. They're too busy for you. They're too busy. So he said, go out into the edges, the highways and the byways and bring them in. Fill up my banqueting. I can never afford to be too busy. I need to stay on the cutting edge. Right? And so now when I'm talking about I'm here and I'm available, I got to come to that place where I understand that when I pray, the Holy Spirit, it gets into agreement with me because I'm in agreement with covenant prayer.
Amen.
And I understand righteousness.
Yes.
Right? Amen. And so there's going to be some supernatural manifestations happen as a result of the Holy Spirit in me in intercessory prayer.
Amen.
Now listen to this.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 1. Just hang on a minute. This is exciting, worth waiting for.
Amen.
Say angels.
Angels.
Don't forget angels. All through the New Testament, angels turned up with messages, jailbreaks, provision, shipwreck rescues. The Old Testament, full of angels. Angels.
Amen.
Praise God. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14 says, there's angels assigned to you. Praise God. Say, I'm never alone. You know when you feel alone? It happens every now and again. It's a demon. Loneliness is a demon.
Yes.
And it just sort of sneaks up on you every now and again. But I'm telling you, you're never alone. All you need to do is to flex your muscles. Say, angels assigned to me in Jesus' name. Get rid of this.
Amen.
Powerful stuff. Amen. Okay. All right. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. Oh, it sounds like Psalm 139 and 16, doesn't it? That sounds like when he was talking to the apostle in Galatians 1:15. He's talking about, listen, I created you for a specific purpose. And when you line up with that, stuff starts happening. So this is why I need to be, you know, surrender to come into the supernatural, abundant life, the God kind of life that Jesus came for me to enter into.
Amen.
All right, so he said, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Lord, behold, I cannot speak for I am a child. So what is the emphasis? I can't speak. You see, it's always about words.
Yes.
You go through and you talk, you look at, listen to the conversation that's happening between God and the person he's talking to. And it all comes back down to words. Why are words so important? Words form this world.
Yes.
Words are very important. But those, how do you do, how you going, all that sort of, it's nothing. You're not even in it. You know, they say, oh, I've had a really bad day. I'm going to go and kill myself. Oh, well, enjoy yourself. Like you haven't even heard. You don't want to hear. You're just rhetoric. But when your heart's in it, I'm making a distinguished mention of that today. When your heart's in it, that's why he says, anger is the worst thing that you can entertain. If you allow, he says in the epistles of John, that if I hate my brother, I am a murderer. Why is that? Because those words are carrying death. And that word pierces a heart. You know that most of the offenses you have is because somebody said something. Or their action said something. I cannot speak for I'm a child. He said, I'm a cop out. He wants us to take the responsibility to change with him the situation. If I want to change something, I need to take the responsibility for it. And the passivity, God, please do something about this. Nothing happens. Because I have not. The Holy Spirit is the helper. He is not the laborer. Holy Spirit, move the chair. Nothing happens. I go and start to pick that chair up, and the Holy Spirit will enable me, empower me to lift it. It's a partnership. He's not a slave. He's God, and he'll work with you. But I can't give him. You know what he says? Give me all your cares and anxieties. Roll all of that off. Why is that? Because all of that is fear. Now, everything else, put your shoulders back, put your head up, and take the responsibility and fill your mouth with the words that open up the kingdom. Supply, peace, righteousness, and joy unspeakable in the Holy Ghost. Now, here we go. We're still going here. The Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. See, say not. It's Jesus said, take no thought saying. Where did a thought come from? How many thoughts are being given to us from outside? They're not our thoughts. They've been introduced to us. Take no thought saying. And so he's now talking. But the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, you shall speak. All right, so you can see, right, I've got a commission. Can you see what I'm saying here? If I'm lackadaisical and I'm thinking, okay, I'm just doing what I'm doing, and that's just what I'm doing. Wrong attitude. You want the blessings? You want God's supernatural intervention in your day? You're on assignment. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, no matter what position you're in, whether you are a slave owner, whether you're a slave, whether you're an employer, whether you're a business person, or you're a worker, do not try to exalt yourself above the station you're in right now. Don't be offended with where you are right now. Get your heart right. And I will exalt you in due time. So I need to protect. So what do I do? Then he says, do all as unto the Lord. So you're not working for them. You're not a slave to them. You're a slave to Christ. And he'll set you free. But you've got to keep your attitude right. God doesn't stick none of this on you. He wants you and me to surrender and stand up. Take the responsibility, knowing that the power of the Holy Spirit can shift it the moment I start speaking in agreement with what he said is provision. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Okay? Now, this is good. And don't tell me, oh, he's just speaking to the Jeremiah the prophet. You and I have the Holy Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit prophesies. The Holy Spirit has the word of knowledge, has the word of wisdom, has the gift of faith, has the gifts of healings, the gift of discerning of spirits. That Holy Spirit, that miraculous power dynamic of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is in you. He's talking to you. Don't realize how much power and authority you have. And he's endeavoring to bring this to you this morning. Amen. He has sent you. The footsteps of the righteous have been ordered by the Lord. So the minute you say that, okay, so what's that mean? I've got Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 starts to happen. What's that? When I go out, I'm blessed. Why? He's ordered my footsteps. If I'm not believing that, nothing's going to happen. Who am I going to go to work today? I've got to go to work today. I've got to do the washing today. I've got to do this and that. I had this old song from Fisher Folk. On this old, one of the first Japanese tape players. And a little speaker like this. I will praise the Lord when I'm washing the dishes. I will praise the Lord when I'm wiping up. And I used to play that, drove Helen mad, but I tried to tell myself, I don't like mowing lawns and I dislike washing dishes and particularly drying them. And he's telling me, you got the wrong attitude. You praise me, especially in the areas you don't like. Why? Your attitude blocks the blessings. I've got to understand that no matter whether I'm the housewife, and what's wrong with a housewife? Housewife makes a home. Praise God. And if the housewife's doing her job right, the bloke's wanting to come home because it's the best place on the planet. Anyway, you shall go wherever I send you. Okay, so I've got the day set out. All right, but I'm available. Lord, whatever. Do you follow? Then I'm going to have the right attitude. Now I know that my footsteps are ordered by the Lord, and I say that. You see, say. Agree. Talk to him. Talk to your angels. He sent the angel of the Lord to go ahead of them, to prosper them in their way, to lower the mountains and fill up the valleys and cause them to be protected and blessed in their going out and in their coming in.
Amen.
Well, get them going.
Amen.
That's what they're there for.
Amen.
That's what they're there for.
Amen.
They are bored stupid because you're not giving them anything to do. And all you do, you say, you do that well, Pastor. Yeah, I practiced it for years, I know. It's all say, he's coming to the good part. Took long enough. Took long enough. Jeez. All right, so are we all in agreement? I don't go anywhere I'm not sent. Say it.
I don't go anywhere I'm not sent.
I can't hear you. You don't go anywhere you're not sent.
Amen. Pastor, it's all been good.
Amen.
You're welcome. You can stay for lunch. She was angling for that, was she? I've got to keep an eye on that woman. Actually, two eyes. Yeah. All right. Praise God, sister. We love you. All right. You shall go to all that I send thee, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you. Okay. Now, what an attitude that gives you. You all right?
Yes.
Now, he says, if you start getting this right, Deuteronomy 28, it says that men will fear to come into your presence because they are aware that you are God's person. So what is the enemy seeing that you're not necessarily seeing? The angel of the Lord that encamps about you. When you realize you're being escorted by these 30-foot tall, mighty warriors of God, either side, mate, you get a spring in your step and you're thinking, whoo, yes, bring it on. What? Abundant life.
Amen.
Yes, praise Amen. God. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What is that? Yahweh, the biggest of it all. You know, like he is everything, man. Verse 10. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, and then to build and plant.
Amen.
All right, now that gives you something, doesn't it? That gives you something. Yeah, but that's the Old Testament.
Yeah, right.
What's Hebrews? What's Hebrews? New Testament, right?
Yeah, okay.
All right. I'm looking at Hebrews chapter 11 here right now. Okay, and I'm in verse 32, Hebrews 11, 32. And what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jareth, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. It was faith that shut the mouths of lions, put out the power of raging fire, caused many to escape certain death by the sword. Although weak, their faith imparted power to make them strong. Faith sparked courage within them, and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies from another realm into the battle array. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised and in resurrection power. Yet it was faith that enabled others to endure great atrocities. They were stretched out on the wheel and tortured and didn't deny their faith in order to be freed because they longed for a more honorable and glorious resurrection. Others were mocked and experienced the most severe beating with whips. They were in chains and imprisoned. Some of these faith champions were brutally killed by stoning, being sawn in two, or slaughtered by the sword. These lived in faith as they went about wearing goat skins and sheep skins for clothing. They lost everything they possessed. They endured great afflictions, and they were cruelly mistreated. They wandered the earth, living in the desert wilderness, in caves, on barren mountains, and in holes in the earth. Truly, the world was not even worthy of them, not realizing who they were. These were the true heroes, commended for their faith, yet they lived in hope without receiving the fullness of what was promised them. But now, God has invited us to live in something better than what they had, faith's fullness. This is so that they could be brought to the finished perfection alongside us. Faith-filled women saw their dead children raised in resurrection power. Faith sparked courage within them and they became mighty warriors in battle, pulling armies, say armies, from another realm. From another realm. What did they pull from another realm? Armies! Into battle array. Man. Whoa!
Hallelujah.
Whoa!
Amen.
Whoa! Pulled armies from another realm into battle array.
Yes.
Zippity doo da, zippity a. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Oh my God! Syrian army's here. Oh! Elijah! Elijah! Come! Look! The Syrian army's got us totally surrounded. And Elijah says, open the idiot's eyes. There's nothing wrong with his eyes. He can see the armies right around him. Nothing wrong with his eyes. What eyes was he talking about? His spiritual eyes. And what was Elijah doing? He summons an army from the unseen realm to come into battle array.
Yes.
And he said, fear not, for they that are with us are mightier than they that are against us.
Amen.
Are you getting the message?
Yes.
Are you getting the message?
Amen.
That's a New Testament, boyo. Intercessory prayer is the most powerful thing that's on the planet.
Yes.
When you release your faith in the unseen realm, the kingdom dominion of Almighty God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Whoa! Man. I had this woman say to me, she said, no, you actually believe that something happens when you pray.
Yeah.
I said, I dared to go to church, and I'm sitting there in church, and then we stood to worship, and we're worshiping, and everything is, you know, entering into the worship, and then everything disappears. And then I'm looking into this infinity, the most beautiful blues, all shades of blues I've ever seen in my life. And it seemed to be like veils of curtains all the way to infinity. I just and they were just gently blowing in the breeze. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at this. And all of a sudden, I started to realize, hang on. And then I had another look, and then I could see angels.
Hallelujah.
Angels. Layers and layers and layers, like ranked. And that was for as long as it was. And then I started thinking, oh no, why am I seeing this? And this sense of responsibility was coming to me. And I looked to my right, and there's Jesus. Ah. And then I knew I was in trouble. He said, yeah, they've been assigned to you now for your next assignment, the next level of your assignment. And then that weight hit. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, if I'm responsible for this, how do I communicate to them? Is there a leader of this bunch? Is there a name that I'm supposed to do? You know, like, how am I supposed to work with this? If I'm responsible for it, how am I supposed to work with this? And Jesus is there, and I'm talking to him. And he said, will I do? I'm the captain of this host.
Amen.
And then praise the Lord. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in my progression of development in faith in Christ has been that in that sense of I couldn't dare to believe that something like that could happen. To think that God's inside of me, what does that mean? I'm a child of God. I'm not God, but I'm a child of God. And I'm equipped by God to fulfill God's purpose. But I have to start to get a hold of that. But I found that I'd want to step back from that. It frightens me. That's the right word. Frightens me because of I don't understand what that means. But there's more to it. There's a responsibility to it. Is a responsibility to walk worthy of the calling in the Lord.
Yes.
And so all of these other scriptures that start to describe what it is that I'm supposed to, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God's kingdom is in me and it's released through me. And so how do I carry myself? Well, I've got to begin to understand what authority that I've been given. And I need to understand that the protection that he has all around me. And I need to understand that if I call on the name of the Lord, that there's a response that comes from heaven. And how quickly is it? It's instantaneously available to those who believe.
Amen.
When I call out in the name of Jesus for deliverance,
Amen.
He's there.
Yes.
And the multitude of his army is around us. And just like Elijah said to that blinded carnal servant, who ended up being a dipstick anyway, his end was, he was a dipstick. He's obviously carnal. Do you follow? You can read the story. He sold out for a few blankets and trinkets and stuff from Naaman the leper. That was his end. You can't serve God and money. You serve God, he adds the money without sorrow.
Amen.
Yeah. Once I get a handle on my authority and who I am in Christ, how precious you are. How precious you are. And he needs your mouth. He needs you to come into agreement with him. You invite the king into your stable, and it's a palace. And you thank him for the palace. You say, yeah, but my place stinks. Won't for long.
Amen.
It won't for long. Once you start thanking him for where you are, he'll shift it. Right? Because you're giving him permission to shift it. You're giving him permission to intervene, to get involved. You've got to invite him into that stable. You've got to invite him into that situation. You've got to invite him. But then you've got to have the courage. Say courage.
Courage.
God said to Joshua, be courageous and very strong. Be courageous and very strong. Why? He said, don't fear their faces. Don't fear what they are saying about you. Don't fear what they are thinking about you. Stop thinking about what you're thinking that they're thinking. Right? Give yourself a break. Think what God's thinking. When you are praying, you're in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 down. And he says, you have been set far above all principalities and powers and rules of darkness and wicked spirits in high places, all the authorities that there are on the planet, right? Okay, you're far above that. So he says, see, I have this day set thee over nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and then to build and to plant. So to reconstruct. Okay. So he tells these Israelites when they're going into the promised land, he said, I won't drive all the people out before you. Because if I do that, then the wild animals will increase and then you'll have a different kind of a problem that you don't need yet. So as you take it, you keep it. So when you are praying and interceding for ground to be taken, you're removing, rooting out, pulling down, destroying it, and ripping up the whole strategic system that Satan has put against you to tear up your life, to ruin and wreck your life, right? To such a point that he's wanting you to curse yourself, like Job's wife said to him, why don't you give it up, Job? What are you still trusting in God for? Look at your situation. Why don't you just curse God and die? Well, that's what the devil wants you to do. He's got you thinking that way. But if you agree with God and you say, okay, how do I change this? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is what Paul and Silas did in the center of the jail, in the dungeon. Start to pray and to praise God. And then there was an earthquake. And then they were set free. And all the other prisoners too. Christ turns up and the prisoners are set free.
Amen.
So, okay, I've got nothing in the natural to be praising God about, but I can praise God for what he's going to do. He's going to supernaturally intervene in this situation and I'm praising him for the results. I'm living in a palace, hallelujah.
Amen.
Woohoo! Amen. Glory to God. And so all of this
strategic, oppressive, thieving, horrible situation that I'm in Jesus Christ's name, right?
Yes, amen.
I root you out, I pull you down, I destroy you and throw you utterly down, in Jesus' name. Host of heaven, under the captaincy of Jesus Christ, go! Make it happen! What are they doing? Rooting out, pulling down, destroying, throwing down.
Yes.
Yes. Now, what do? We build.
Amen.
Call those things that are not as though they were. Okay?
Amen.
Call those things that are not as though they were. I'm living in a palace.
Yes.
Now, my father used to always say, anything for a quiet life. And he never had a quiet life. He went on holidays and it was the worst thing he ever did. He went to the doctors to try to get some increased pain relief from his headaches and so forth. And the first thing the doctor said to him says, you need to go on a holiday. And my father says, I am on holidays! And all he wanted was a quiet life. That's all he'd always say that. And he never got that. He never got that. Because what anyway, you can think about that. But this is how powerful it is. And I've read you from Hebrews exactly what is happening. So that's why the Bible tells us to pray for those in government. Do you understand? Now, do we have authority? Yes, he says that God says that he has allowed himself the room to move, to shift those who lead and direct the countries from north to south. So they might implement a law. But then through prayer, you engaging this. You see, this, we're talking about armies.
Yes.
We're talking about nations.
Amen.
We're talking about governments. Yes. We're talking about laws. And he says, you have the authority, you have the responsibility to take the authority to stop complaining about governments and start praying that they line up with thy kingdom come, thy will be done in Australia as it's recorded and written in the books, Psalms 139:16, in Jesus Christ's name. Host of heaven, go! Make it happen. We are responsible for the country we're living in.
Yes. Amen.
Righteousness exalts the nation. Not complaining, not criticizing, not judgment. Intercessory prayer releasing the power dynamics of the dominion that's in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're not looking to control these people. We are asking that God's will be wrought for this nation, that what? We can dwell in peace and preach the gospel freely to see people saved from hell and established in his abundant life on earth now and then heaven eternally, right?
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So that's our job. That's our job. So when you say, oh, you're praying for the government's useless, with that thought, your prayer is useless and you're useless in the kingdom.
Yes.
You have to repent and realize the power that he's given you in the name of Jesus. And that's one of the commandments. And we'll finish with that. We'll finish with that. 1 John 3. Well, I preached myself happy today. I never know what he's going to preach. Verse 23, 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Is a commandment a suggestion?
No, it's a commandment.
It's not. No, it's a command. Okay. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us. Okay. So, you know, John 15:7 says, if his word lives in you and you live in him, ask what you will and it shall be given unto you. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's where we're headed. So whatever comes out of your mouth is going to manifest.
Yes.
Say, whatever comes out of my mouth is going to manifest to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. All right. And it's not glib ad lib we're talking about. It's when your soul is in what you are saying.
Yes.
So when you believe in your heart, then say with your mouth.
Yeah.
You get in the car, you've got to turn on the ignition. Then you've got to select the gear, take off the brake. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to engage. It's not you throw a rock into a wishing pond and you're throwing a rock into a wishing pond and you're wishing something will happen. Faith is now. Faith is hope is a future term. And if you're wishing, that's not even biblical. That's nothing. Not a thing. A covenant word from God is assurance that it's available to you. Just like you go to the internet and you look on there and you see a product that you want and you select it. All right? You select it. And they'll tell you, well, it's in stock or it's not in stock or it's on back order or whatever it is. You make up your mind. But the point is, if it's there, you can see it, you can take it. Right? Believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. So you've got to take the time to build that. Do I believe this or am I wishing? Do I believe this or am I wishing? How do I come to the belief? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I need to hear it. Okay, so When I was battling death with sickness, even just, you know, two years ago or something, I had an attack come on me. Haven't had anything like that for 35 years or something. I let my guard down. You know, the walls of salvation. I let it down, become familiar, presumed. And if I treated my wife with presumption, she'd hit me over the head with a saucepan. You're right. And you know, I did that with the Lord, you see. Intimacy is intimacy. No intimacy, no walls of salvation for protection. So I got hit. Now they did all the medical tests on me. I was in hospital for 14 days and they found nothing. So I got up and I'm walking backwards and forwards in that room praying and confessing the word, right? And I was in Isaiah 40. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and rise up as an eagle. They'll run and not be weary. Oh, mate. And I'm getting this thing, you see. And so initially, I got all this pain. They said, out of 10, what level of pain you got? I said, 15. Man, that was something. You know, the whole body was just screaming. To walk was screaming. You know, Pete drove me down to Sydney and I thought, I was in trouble. I was in big trouble. Anyway, so with all of that, I'm going this. Everything about me is saying, is this going to work? But I had to work on building my belief, right? Trust God. This professor came in and he looked at me
And he said, I can see that there's a change in you. I can see it in your eye. He said, what are you doing? I said, oh, I've got a couple of hundred people praying for me. And I said, I'm praying like crazy and I'm professing the word of God that I'm healed. And he said, well, keep it up. He says, what you're doing is working. What we're doing is nothing. And on the 14th day, I said, I signed myself out. I'm out of there. And as you can see, here I am. Suriname Rama.
Yay!
I'm alive. I'm alive in Christ. I'm back. Yay. I'm back. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, right? Decree, command.
Yeah.
You're not playing. And when you release your angels, James 5:16, when you release your angels, my God, they're armies, armies, armies. And they know how to do the work.
Amen.
Believe it. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth, right? And then it's just so that you've, hallelujah. No, I didn't do that. All right, I won't worry about it. Oh, yes, I did. Believe in your heart and say, decree, command with your mouth, God's word, God's plan, God's covenant. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, verses 6 to 7. Mark 11, 23, Matthew 21, 21, Luke 17, 6. There you go. You have an angel, you have an angel army at your disposal. God's looking for those that are going to receive the revelation of that and start putting it to work. Right? Hello?
Amen.
Matthew 18, 10 says, you have been set a guardian angel from the time of birth, and that one stays with you right up until you go back to heaven. A guardian angel, that's one. But when you're talking about Hebrews 1 verse 14, and you've got all of these angels that have been sent to minister to your needs and to help partner you in fulfilling your destiny, that's a bunch. And then when you take on intercession, you've got militant armies available for you.
Amen.
To set your protections around your property.
Yes.
Armies. Right? And so the idea is, when you set your defense, and I'll finish then, you set your defense, so you've defended your household, then you push out. Do you understand? You've got to plant and build. After you've torn it all down, then plant and build. What do you want? That's what you're planting and building.
Yes.
What do you want for the one you're praying for? Healing, deliverance, financial breakthroughs? What is it that you want? A deliverance from the domestic situation they're in? What is it that you want? You're right? But then when you're praying, oh, I'm sorry, got to give it to you. When you're praying for somebody else, protection, and they're not saved, if they are saved, you're going to end up having to get involved. The first lesson the Holy Spirit taught me, don't pray for anybody unless you're prepared to be part of the answer.
Yes. Yes.
Because love is an action word. Yes. You cannot stand in front of a person and they're in need and you be disconnected.
Yes.
The love of God's not in you. Do you want?
Yes.
You're right? So you can't say, oh, God bless you, and then they're hungry and you don't feed them. Right? If they're a bum and they're trying to suck the money out of you for something, right? It's fine. The Holy Spirit said to me, get them to dig a hole.
Yes.
Give them a job.
Yes.
Give them a job. You're doing two things. One, you're identifying that they're valuable. Two, you're giving them something that they can start to lift their own self-esteem. They come out of the begging and they get back into contributing.
Yes.
And you do it. And then the other thing you told me was, if they've got bills, pay them. Give them real food. Don't give them money. Mm-hmm. They're like addicts or something.
Yes.
So you can still help them, but you've got to be wise in the way you help them.
Yes.
Because if you aren't wise, you're just going to multiply their problems. Okay. Then the others, if they're unsaved and you're praying for them, then you've got to be sensitive to the openings that God gives you to be courageous and bold and present the gospel. Even though everything in you says, oh, they're going to reject me. Oh, this could start a war. Your excuses are not accepted in heaven. So if you're going to start praying for someone, okay, that's not saved, you're sowing in tears, then you need to be ready to reap the sheaves. And if you're not, you're only half doing it, you see. So you've got to pray that the opposition is torn down, uprooted and totally demolished, and then you've got to plant.
Yes.
Right? So if I'm praying for somebody and they're not in my proximity, I'm praying, God, send laborers, anointed laborers with a word in season for them across their path. Father, I claim their salvation in Jesus' name. You're right. And then if they are in proximity to me, Father, I'm asking you for an opportunity to present the gospel to them. Soften their heart, loose the angels to prepare them, activate their personal guardian angel to cause them to move towards the light. You're right. They won't preach for you, but they will help you in preparation for them to receive the word. So I prepare them for me coming.
Yes.
But then don't cow it out. If you're a coward, go home. And if it is cowardice that's bothering you, ask God to get rid of it. Right? Hello. Jesus is a soul winner and a discipler of men. So am I. What about you? Jesus, make me a soul winner. Praise God. All right, let's pray. I'm only half a long-winded preacher. Not the full McCoy, right? You don't believe me? Ah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your kingdom. We thank you for the dominion that we have in your kingdom through our faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that when we call on the name of the Lord for deliverance, you send your armies to do exactly what you said you would do. And we thank you that we can stand on your promise. We can stand on your word that you ratified in blood, your son's blood. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for causing us to move to the next level of intercession and find out that the Lord, our God, is a man or a warrior, a mighty warrior, and Yahweh is his name. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that you take the cowardice out of us and put in us the heart of the Lion of Judah, holy boldness, so in Jesus' name. So in Jesus' name, I take authority over the fear of man, fear, anxiety, stress, anguish, hopelessness, loneliness, double-mindedness, in Jesus Christ's name. And I break that power and influence and the strongholds in your mind in Jesus' name, loosing the host of heaven under the captaincy of Jesus Christ to enforce it right where you are, wherever you are, whatever country you're in, and whatever time it is, in Jesus Christ's name now. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. God loves you. We love you. Amen. See you in a fortnight. God bless. Amen.